morning, everybody. Morning. Welcome to this morning's service, led for us today by Steve Gregory. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say to us. Just a couple of reminders. Today at 6:30 at Hope Methodist Church, it's Pharaoh to Freedom, and that's in place of the evening service. The Cliff College trek is a week tomorrow. They'll arrive here about 11:30, about 27 people. If anyone can make a cake for their lunch, please let me know. If not, just come down and support them and have a cup of tea. I've had a message from Jane Wild. If you remember Crispin Edbarg, who was with Karen on placement around June, July last year. He's been accepted for presbyteral training and he wants to thank Bamber Bridge congregation for their support in encouraging him in his calling. And the Easter Sunday AM 8 a.m. service, you can have a breakfast. So Tony has put a list on the notice board in the meeting room, and if you could sign to say you're coming and what you would like to eat. Thank you. Now I'd like to invite Ellen to come up and do the Lenten liturgy.
This is week 5 on our journey through Lent. May these symbols be reminders of the road Jesus took, the road of pain and suffering, the path of self-giving love. May these also remind us of the suffering of the world and the challenges for us to respond. The whip is a symbol of torture and suffering of Jesus. Then Pontius Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. Can we pray? Jesus Christ, suffering servant of all, you know what we go through. Help us to face suffering in your strength and to eliminate the suffering of others. Amen.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning. For those of you wondering why it's me, it's part of Jane Wild's juggling around of what's happening over the next few weeks. You can get a supernumerary minister for next week who's going to be leading communion. And so I'm swapped from next week to this week. There was somebody who came in and said, "Oh, does this mean we've got you twice?" And I smiled and said no, and he smiled back, so I won't look at that person. It's lovely to be with you as we join together in worship. We're going to start our worship by singing the Faith, number 272, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
To be served but to
Join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we do come to worship you. We come to reflect upon your love for us. We come acknowledging that you came as a servant, but also a king. We come acknowledging your place in our lives. We come reflecting upon your love. And we pray that as we gather together this morning, you will teach us and encourage us and enable us to grow in that love. But Lord, as we look at ourselves, we see things that we are ashamed of. Times when we don't respond in the right way. Times when we are called to love and we turn the other way. Times when a word of encouragement is needed and we come with a word of rebuke. Times when our words hurt. And perhaps we think we are being amusing. For Lord, we acknowledge before you that in the way that we live, we fall short of your example. But for each of us, as we come to worship you, we know and we are assured that even in our failings, that you love us. That even in our failings, you can use us. And in your love, we are forgiven. And so, Lord, we claim that forgiveness for ourselves, coming to worship and to glorify your name. And so, Lord, as we come before you, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, we would be encouraged. That our fears of tiredness may be lifted, and that together we may see and share in the joy of knowing you. So, Lord, in our words and in our deeds, we pray that you will be with each one of us. Amen. And let's share together the prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're now going to sing again from Singing the Faith, number 489. All I once held dear, built my life upon. Our readings, first from Philippians chapter 3, followed by a reading from John chapter 12.
This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead.
I'm reading from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used it to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Thanks be to God.
Today's reading from John's Gospel brings us to the harsh reality that Jesus will die and that the journey to Jerusalem is inevitable, that the prophecies that we read about will be fulfilled. But it's a different sort of expectation to the one that we express in Advent. There in Advent, we have the expectation of a child who's going to be born that is going to bring hope, the start of a new life. But here, on this road to Jerusalem, we have this real possibility that there will be real change, that there will be something that brings about a difference. You see, here we have more than hope. We have seen the Christ, and we are journeying with him to Jerusalem. The Christ that we have heard about is approaching his death. His death, which carries the sins, the wrongdoing of the whole world. In this act of Jesus' death, there is the potential for us to seize the moment and be changed into the people that God wants us to be. But do we have the confidence to allow ourselves to become new people? To give ourselves totally to the service of Christ? Are we actually ready to make that next step in our own personal faith journey? And if you think about the characters in that passage that we had read to us from John's Gospel, you see the way that they responded to this very same challenge. Were they ready to accept what Christ wanted to bring into their lives? Think about Judas. When Mary poured the pint, or in my translation it says the half litre. I said maybe this is a bit more European, I don't know. But you get the idea. A significant amount of this pure nard over the feet of Jesus. Judas was completely outraged. He saw the value of what there was there in that jar being poured over the floor. A year's wages poured over the feet of Jesus and allowed to drip on the floor. Now, how many of you, when perhaps your significant other have come home having bought something, have asked that question, how much? How much? Do you not realize what we could have done with how much? And in some ways, we can perhaps understand why Judas was getting frustrated about what had happened. He spoke about how the poor would benefit. But in reality, what Judas was complaining about was the lost opportunity to put some of the value of that nard into his own pocket. Judas may have claimed that he was actually following Jesus' teaching about helping the poor. He may have even thought that he was saying what he expected Jesus to hear him say. What could we do today with that amount of money? One of the things that I do is that I'm chair of treasurer of our local food bank. And we've just sent out this last week through the local schools about 250 bags of food to carry up families who are in need sort of through the Easter holidays. Each of those bags is probably worth £40 or so in terms of the food that goes within it. You can do the sums and you go, gosh, how many more bags could we have done with that? But Judas was rebuked for what he said. Maybe Judas was behaving as the teachers of the day behaved. He was putting himself in a position of authority and proclaiming that he knew the mind of God. But he missed the point. And here is the weakness of many of us, I'm looking round at the preachers, who stand here and actually preach. It's quite easy for us to proclaim something and miss the point of what God is actually really saying to us today in the church. Do we preach Christ or do we preach self? In making decisions about the future of the church, do we listen to God or do we put in place what we think is right? How and why do we decide one way or another? Think back through last week. Think about some of the decisions that you had to make. Did you ever ask the question, what would Jesus do? Where would Jesus want me to be doing in this situation? You may have heard the phrase, WWJD, yeah? What would Jesus do? Judas thought that he had met Jesus' expectation. But he didn't have a heart for the moment. He didn't have an understanding of what was actually happening there. He did what he thought was right, but he got it completely wrong. Now compare Judas with Mary. Mary, along with her sister Martha, had endured the grief of seeing her brother Lazarus die. Remember, they called for Jesus, and Jesus took his time. When Jesus arrived, it seemed as though it was too late. But they were wrong, and Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. See, Mary and Martha had great reason, didn't they, to show their gratitude to Jesus. Martha showed it in the kitchen, preparing the meal that they were about to share. And Mary must have pondered, what can I do to show my gratitude, to show my love to this man who surely is God, How do I express my love to him? And so she took the most precious thing that she owned and she poured it over his feet. Mary simply gave the best. You see, only the best was good enough for her Jesus. She knew that the crisis point, that the whole crux of the story of Jesus was near. And in this action, Mary identified herself with Jesus. She was committing herself to follow him to the cross. And so she did it in the only way that she knew how. She understood the moment. And she did what was required. And as I reflect upon that, and what it must be, I look at the different characters of Mary and Martha. Martha, who was there, the practical one, preparing the food, preparing the meal that they were going to share. And there's no record in this story of Martha saying to Mary, "You got it wrong." Martha accepted what Mary did as she gave what she had to her Lord and Savior. I wonder how we would have reacted if we'd seen Mary pouring that nard over the feet of Jesus. What would our reaction have been? It's interesting in the lectionary that this is linked with this passage from Philippians where Paul is writing. And in this passage, Paul is reflecting upon his past life. And he points out to those who are listening to the letter or reading the letter that he has all the qualifications, that he's got all the life experiences necessary to make him stand out. Paul was trained and taught by the best. He had persecuted the church with great zeal. In his legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. He was the ideal candidate in so many ways to lead the Jews. And let's be honest, Paul was heading for high office. He was totally committed to doing what he believed God wanted of him. And in his mind, Paul believed that he knew what God expected of him. And he was going to deliver. And he was going to deliver in style by knocking back the early church. And then on the road to Damascus, how a light flashed around him. And he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul replied, "Who are you, Lord?" How in this moment, Saul, later Paul, realized that he had nothing, that all he had fought for was worthless. He had lost it all. But Paul wasn't like the gambler who placed his last coin on the wrong horse and felt despair. For Paul had found Jesus. He had found God. And he realized that it was time to change, to basically turn round and follow God, to follow Jesus. That to turn this sense of knowledge and be very legalistic into a sense of love. And sharing the story of his salvation, of how God had met him upon that road. You can summarize this passage in many ways. Of put the past behind you. Forget it. Accept Christ. Move on as a changed person forever. You see, Paul seized this moment and he moved on to become the man God wanted him to be. As I reflected upon this passage, I realized that there were two ways I could sort of express this. I could sort of give you the bashing that says, don't be like Judas. Or could give you the lifting bit that says, be like Mary. Be like Paul. That realizes that in the love of God, their life has changed and they have this opportunity to give what they have in service of their Lord and Master. And this surely is the good news about this passage. It's not the bad news about Judas, but the joy that we too can know Christ like Mary and like Paul. That God meets us in the same way. And our sin has been forgiven and that we have hope. And that we are called to share that hope in the way that Mary called it as she poured the nard upon his feet. In the way that Paul responded as he went and he spoke and he challenged people about their lives. And he called them to love. Are we ready in our lives to love as Mary and Paul have loved? Around us, there are things that we value, but they'll surely decay. Things that we hold close, do we allow them to distract us from allowing Jesus to control our lives? Don't allow the things that we hold dear to become a barrier between ourselves and God. As we reflect this Passion Sunday on the journey to the cross, on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us all, may we respond, as people have throughout the ages, by seizing the moment and proclaiming that we too are following Jesus. That we too, like Mary and like Paul, have made that commitment to love in his name. Let us pray. Lord, you challenge us in many different ways. There are things that we see before us of different priorities. And we wonder how we should respond with them. And we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would challenge each one of us and give us the gifts and the grace to love in your name. Amen. We're going to sing together number 446 from Singing the Faith.
Of your name, for the things you have.
We've been asked today to pray specifically for Ukraine. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, there'll be an event that's been organised by Christian Aid and Churches Together in Britain and Ireland outside the Ukrainian embassy in London, where Christians have been invited to join together to pray. So that's at 2 o'clock this afternoon in London. I know that even if you rushed away now, you wouldn't get to a train to be able to get there. But what they've asked us to do as well is actually at some point today, maybe at home, to light a candle and to reflect upon what is actually happening in Ukraine. And as part of that, there's a prayer that we've been asked to share as well. So as part of our prayers of intercession, we will share in this prayer for Ukraine. Let us pray. Lord, we reflect upon the situation in our world. In particular, we think of what is going on in Ukraine. We share this prayer. God of all peoples and nations, who created all things alive and breathing, united and whole, show us the way of peace that is your overwhelming presence. We hold before you the peoples of Ukraine and Russia, every child and every adult. We long for the time when weapons of war are beaten into plowshares, when nations no longer lift up sword against nation. We cry out to you for peace. Protect those whose only desire and deserve to live in security and safety. Comfort those who fear for their lives and the lives of their loved ones. Be with those who are bereaved. Change the hearts of those set on violence and aggression. And fill leaders with the wisdom that leads to peace. Kindle again in us a love of our neighbor and a passion for justice to prevail. And a renewed recognition that we all play a part in peace. Creator of all, hear our prayer and bring us peace and make us whole. Amen. And we continue in our prayers as we reflect upon those close to us. We're asked to pray for Ron Smith in hospital, who now has COVID. Pray for him and for those who care for him. We pray for family and friends, that he may know your love and peace at this time. We think of others who are going through difficulties, maybe in relationships, or maybe with ill health. For whatever reason, we just pray that in your loving presence, they may know you and be at peace. We think, Lord, of the way that we show love in our community. We think of groups and organizations that seek to meet the needs of many. We think of our food banks. We think of those reaching out to care. We think of the social services in our country and the NHS. And we pray that in the work that they do, that they may be strengthened. And we look, Lord, at ourselves. We hear your call, but in so many ways struggle to understand the way that we respond. We pray that we may be like Mary, understand the moment and know what it is to love in your name. Through your Holy Spirit, give us words and actions that show your love to a world in need. Amen. Our final hymn is numbered 345. And can it be that I should gain? share the grace with each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.